Friday, September 26th, Ember Friday. The lesson from Hosea chapter 14, verses 2 through 10. Thus saith the Lord God, Return, O Israel, to the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen down by thy iniquity. Take with you words, and return to the Lord, and say to him, Take away all iniquity, and receive the good, and we will render the calves of our lips. Assyria shall not save us, we will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more, The works of our hands are our gods. For thou wilt have mercy on the fatherless that is in thee. I will heal their breaches, I will love them freely, for my wrath is turned away from them. I will be as the dew, Israel shall spring as the lily, and his root shall shoot forth as that of Libanus. His branches shall spread, and his glory shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as that of Libanus. They shall be converted that sit under his shadow. They shall live upon wheat, and they shall blossom as a vine. His memorial shall be as the wine of Libanus. Ephraim shall say, What have I to do any more with idols? I will hear him, and I will make him flourish like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know these things? For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall in them. Haydock Commentary. Take with you words and return to the Lord. We will render the calves of our lips. In captivity, legal victims cannot be offered, but a contrite heart is always acceptable. The calves mentioned here are victims of praise, so says St. Jerome. Assyria shall not save us, we will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more, the works of our hands are our gods. The Assyrians, instead of protecting us, oppress us, while Egypt, famous for its horses, sits unconcerned. But the source of all our evils are the idols, which we will follow no more. I will heal their breaches, I will love them freely, for my wrath is turned away from them. This will be fulfilled when Israel shall be converted, as some were to Christ, and many will be at the end of the world. Who is wise and he shall understand these things? This denotes the obscurity of the prophecy. No human wit can explain the prophets, yet the just shall understand as much as shall be necessary. Only few will make good use of these admonitions and share in the promises. The Gospel from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. At that time, one of the Pharisees desired Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the house of the Pharisee and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman that was in the city, a sinner, when she knew that he sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. And standing behind at his feet, she began to wash his feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And the Pharisee who had invited him, seeing it, spoke within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would know surely who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he said, Master, say it. A certain creditor had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And whereas they had not wherewith to pay, he forgave them both. Which therefore of the two loveth him most? Simon answering said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said to him, Thou hast judged rightly. And turning to the woman, he said unto Simon, Dost thou see this woman? I entered into thy house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she with tears hath washed my feet, and with her hairs hath wiped them. Thou gavest me no kiss, but she, since she came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but she with ointment hath anointed my feet. Wherefore I say to thee, many sins are forgiven her, because she hath loved much. But to whom less is forgiven, he loveth less. And he said to her, Thy sins are forgiven thee. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath made thee safe. Go in peace. Haydock Commentary. The common exposition is this woman had been of a lewd, debauched life and conversation, and tradition holds it to be Mary Magdalene. The Pharisee was egregiously deceived in thinking that Christ was ignorant of the character of the woman, because he not only clearly saw the past bad conduct of the woman, but the present unjust thoughts of the Pharisee. He was deceived also in his erroneous inference that Christ could not be a prophet, for not all things are necessarily revealed by God to his prophets. He was deceived by judging of Christ after his own and the other Pharisees' treatment of sinners, who, elated with pride and thinking themselves just, kept all public sinners at a distance, whereas not those who are well, but such as are sick, need the physician. St. Cyprian says, "In proportion to our sins should be our grief." Many sins are forgiven her because she hath loved much. In Scripture, an effect sometimes seems attributed to one only cause when there are diverse other concurring dispositions. The sins of this woman in this verse are said to be forgiven because she loved much, but in verse 50 Christ tells her, "Thy faith has saved thee." In a true conversion are joined faith, hope, love, sorrow, and other pious dispositions. This is one of those places upon which modern heretics lay so much stress in order to prove that faith alone can save us. But if they will attentively consider the different parts of this history, they will easily discover the fallacy of their argument. Because before Christ spoke these words, "Thy faith has saved thee," he had said to Magdalene, "Many sins are forgiven her because she hath loved much." Therefore she was justified not so much through her faith as her charity. Still, she did have faith, or she would not have come to Jesus to be delivered from her sins. It was therefore her faith working by charity that justified her, and this is the doctrine of the Catholic Church. Nevertheless, she had not that faith which modern heretics affirm to be necessary for their justification, namely, a belief that they are already justified and that their sins are forgiven. This faith the woman here mentioned had not before Christ spoke those words to her, for it was to obtain the remission of her sins that she performed so many offices of charity, washing his feet with her tears, etc. But it may be asked, why then does Christ attribute her salvation to her faith? The answer is easy and has often been given. Namely, that faith is the beginning of salvation. For it was her faith that brought her to Christ, for had not the woman believed in him, she never would have come to him to obtain the remission of her sins.